Good evening and welcome to the Building Blocks number 7. It's my pleasure tonight to do worship that moves Father's heart. This is a topic that's really dear to my own heart, simply because if there's anything that I'm remembered for in my lifetime, I want to be remembered as a servant or a worshiper of the Most High God. All the rest of the stuff is just fluff. When a man or woman understands what it means to serve the will of God and to worship Him in for who He is and accept the will that He has for you, that's the most important thing that you and I can discover on the face of the earth. We want to start out tonight by going through some key verses. I think most of the teachers who are doing Building Blocks are using key verses. So key verse number 1, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can't make this significant enough. We can't say this often enough that you cannot be successful in the kingdom of God without His Word. His Word carries everything. It's His will. It's His desires. It's the very power of God to reform our souls so that we can side with God in all things. Now, I want to give you a website that I discovered today. And for those of you who do not have the Word of God on tape or MP3 or some other format, I want you to type this in your machine. Faith comes by hearing, all one word, faithcomesbyhearing.com. You can download free versions of the New Testament, dramatized. You can put those in your iPod. You can put them on all sorts of different devices and be playing them all day long. It's a great company. We've dealt with this company for over 25 years, and now they have these incredible free downloads. Okay, that was key verse number 1. Key verse number 2. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You have to remember that every time you read the Word of God, you're reading something that He penned through people like us. And His Word is infallible. His Word is powerful. And you and I can accept it as God's Word. Key verse number 3. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's John 4:23. Key verse number 4. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does His will, him He hears. How important is that to every one of us? Amen? Key verse number 5. For the eyes of the Lord search throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And that's 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Father, that scripture tells us, is pushing through. He's traveling, looking eagerly throughout the whole earth to show Himself courageous, a conqueror, an aid, and valiant on behalf of people whose hearts are at peace with, established in, and made ready for, and receptive of Him. What an incredible thought that is, isn't it? That God is looking. It would make sense for all men to be looking for God because He has so much to give to anyone who diligently seeks after Him. But the fact that He's actually looking for people whose hearts are open. Listen to this. He's looking for anyone whose heart is, and this is the literal definition, that is literally or figuratively complete. Now, I'm glad it's not literally complete because not many of us would qualify in having a literally complete heart, right? But it's wonderful to know that He's looking for people who literally or figuratively have a complete, friendly, full, and made ready, peaceable heart. We have made peace with the fact that He is God. And those kinds of people, He's looking to show Himself strong on their behalf. Now, that doesn't mean that God only loves perfect people. It's not saying that He will show Himself strong on behalf of accomplished saints, but that He comes to provide power to those that He finds to be willing. That passage reveals that there is a yearning in His heart to find people who are yearning themselves to fulfill their parts of His revealed will. The Scripture teaches us then that Father is searching for men and women who will embrace His Word as final authority. Now, I wanted to make comment again that once you come to the point where you've decided that every man is a liar and God is true, that no matter what our experiences are, that His Word stands forever, that while we change and our circumstances will change with great regularity, God never changes. When you come to that point, that is the beginning of a day of discovery for you. Everything changes when you move into that paradigm shift. Most Christian struggles come from thinking that the Word of God will remold for them. Once you've agreed, Lord, whatever it is that you said, that's it. And whether I agree with it or not, whether I see it or not, whether I experience it or not, it doesn't make any difference. From that point on, things get different. When you believe that healing exists, whether you receive healing or not, things are different. When you believe that prosperity is for the saints who are faithful, whether or not you receive it, but you believe it, that's when things become different. And your warfare changes. It's a very important distinction and very important for us to get there. We have to see His Word as final authority, regardless of what others say, of what self says, of what our circumstances may try and dictate, of what it may personally cost. We have to believe His Word is the final authority. And He is searching for people who believe that His Word and His ways are always the best, no matter how it seems at the start. I'll just end that thought by saying this. You and I have to be willing, and this is a biggie, to drop what we believe at the first notice that what we believed was wrong. Oh, that's huge. You have to be willing, if you're going to be successful as a believer. You know, throughout my life, I've been doing this for 36 years. Throughout my life, at every stage, I was sure I had all the truth there was to have. And then I found, as I studied further and more, and the hours mounted up, I found out that there were things that I didn't see in their fullness. I saw, like Stacy was teaching you last week, that God deals with us to certain degrees and certain levels that we're able to handle, kind of like a burn victim being restored. You know, when that flesh is starting to grow back, then it has to be a little bit more of a peeled off. It has to be scrubbed and a little bit more grows in. And it's a process. And you and I have to understand that our gaining knowledge is a process. And it doesn't mean that we learn anything that contradicts what we believed, but it means that what we now believe is a purified version of what we thought we had a full handle on. Because you know something? Which one of us is ever going to fully grasp the bigness, the beauty of God? Amen? And when you get to a place where you find out, hey, you know what? What I believed there wasn't as accurate as what I understand now, you got to drop it like a rock and move forward. Amen? Sure. You got it? It's the tradition issue, isn't it? How many of us were taught traditions as doctrines? Just like the Bible says, the doctrines of men became our truth. And then we find out God has a different opinion and we want to struggle with that. If you struggle with that, then if you struggle with it beyond being reasonable and making your own study, then what happens is you'll never have the fullness of the kingdom. You have to take it from the Word alone. Amen? So nowhere is there more of a need for the body of Christ to embrace His ways than in the arena of worship. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And that, in fact, is what true worship is. Bowing down before Him, embracing His rule, and with abandon, offering up our ways, our thoughts, our tastes, our opinions, our rule, anything that stands against the divine, perfect, and revealed Word. Once our spirit man knows what Father wants, it's ready to bow. But the battle for true worship is a fight against the flesh and the soul, which are literally fighting for their lives. Your flesh does not want to give up. Your flesh wants what it wants when it wants it, right? Your soul mostly wants what your flesh wants and will always side with your flesh until it is renewed by the Word of God and starts getting used to siding with the Spirit. It's in that battle that we find the Scriptures coming true, that our hearts are wicked and will deceive us. Jeremiah 17 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." The heart that's being spoken of here is not the born-again spirit of man, but the core of his self-nature. It's that heart that must be renewed, the soul side of us that must be renewed. In this battle for who and what we will worship, our carnal nature will never be at a loss for justification. Your flesh can give you 1,000 reasons why you should fulfill its lusts. It will tell you, that to start with, God doesn't really care about this. And it'll walk you all the way down through it to where, hey, you know what? You deserve it, you poor baby. Huh? So you and I have to constantly be on guard against our flesh leading the way, our soul siding with it. We have to be people who understand this change that must take place in our heart. The saints who are defeating the self-nature, who are walking with diligence in the Spirit, who are willing to do Father's revealed word, the Scripture tells us here, will find Him eagerly waiting to provide the power to overcome and to crucify the natural man with his lusts. Now, I want to take you on a little journey with me. I'm going to give you 10 cents worth of instruction on worship. I didn't put 2 cents in there because, you know, 2 cents is just an opinion, right? This is 10 cents. This is more than just an opinion. This is a little bit of education that I want to share with you, things that I've experienced and learned in my life from the Word. First of all, worship is an all-encompassing subject. It's so big, so broad, so deep that it's virtually impossible to deal with it as a whole. However, we can take a look at the whole of it by looking at a small part. It has been rightly said that worship is not singing, but singing is part of worship. You understand that, right? Worship's much bigger than just singing. It's much bigger than what we do on a Sunday. Worship is literally giving ourselves over to the will of God. But, like a dime is part of a dollar and not the whole sum of money, so musical praise and worship with its attendant expressions are part, but not whole, of worship. True worship is bowing down our lives before God. Musical worship is bowing down one area of our life before Him. However, with such an abundance of self-worship and self-rule, in the area of musical expression, we can use it as an example to learn some really important lessons about other areas, and we'll make applications as we go. First, I need these 5 questions to be answered by you, and we're going to use these questions as filters as we go. First question, check it off on your sheet. Is the Word of God our authority? Yes or no? Just check it. Number 2, that's not on there. It's yes or no, not oh. Kidding. Number 2, is the Word of God the supernatural bread of our spiritual lives? Absolutely. Check it in there. Number 3, are we willing to embrace the Word of God as Holy Spirit authored directives from Father's own hearts? Really? We'll see. Number 4, do we recognize the only way to worship the Lord in spirit and truth is to obey His revealed will? Yes or no? Now that's an interesting question. Because, see, everybody wants to debate about what worship in spirit and truth is. What if it was just as simple as the spirit and truth from His Word? What if all that meant was you just had to do it His way? Might simplify life. Good. Number 5. Do we want to be heard when we pray? Now, don't answer this one too quickly because it's a compound question. Do we want to be heard when we pray and have the power of God? First of all, what would you say there? You would? Sure. We all want to be heard by God. We all want to have His power. Power. Right? But wait a minute. Do we want answered prayer and power without wanting Him and His rule? Are you sure? Because I think most people want answered prayer. I think most people would say, I want His power. But they would then quickly say, but I want to do it my way. Because it's a personal thing. It's a personality issue for me. Really? Let's find out. So, if you answered yes, 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 and no, we can go on. Anybody who didn't answer that way, you have to leave the building by the back exits. Let's talk about musical worship. Oh boy, going to get fun. Musical worship from our sponsor. Here's his word. Psalm 149. Now wait a minute. Did we just say a minute ago that it's possible that worshiping in spirit and truth is just doing it His way? Did we say that? Oh, we did. Okay, I might ask you that a couple more times. Okay, going to Psalm 149. Wait a minute. Did I just ask you that question? Okay, stick with me now for sure. Ready? Praise ye, halal. That's the Hebrew word. Here's what it means, just from a dictionary. Be clear of sound, shine, make a show, boast, be clamorously foolish, cry aloud, sustain a din. Anybody know what a din is? A din means a noisy, clamorous sound. You're making a lot of noise. Doesn't this sound exactly like your worship on Sunday morning? I mean the way you worship, not the way we worship. How come I only hear the first four rows worshiping? Okay, stick with me. Are you having fun? Okay, good. So we're going to rave and we're going to celebrate the Lord. Okay, now that was His word, just the first line. So let's just go back and look at question three a minute. Are we willing to embrace the Word of God as Holy Spirit authored directives from Father's own heart? So if this coming Sunday morning, I walk up, stand next to you with a microphone, we are going to see you, hear you, watch you, be clear of sound, shine, make a show, boast, be clamorously foolish, cry loudly, sustain it in rave, and celebrate the Lord. Right? Right? Do you know what would happen in our church if a crowd this size actually started living that first line? The walls would fall down on us. We'd all go to heaven. It would be wonderful. We just said that we believe worshiping in spirit and truth is worshiping God's way. This is a prescription directly out of the Word that we just said. Holy Spirit, author of God's heart. Are you with me? Let's go on, because we're not even close to being done. Okay, so we do this one, so that we worship the Lord. Now, sing, the word is sheer, as a strolling minstrel. Now, how many of you know who Danny Kaye is, or Fred Astaire, or who's the famous singing in the rain guy? Gene Kelly. Okay, now, that's what a singing minstrel looks like. They're singing as they're moving. I remember you guys running by me Sunday morning. Number three, what was that question again? Oh, never mind. Okay, so sing as a strolling minstrel unto the Lord a new kadash, a new fresh song. So, you know, when Elton is singing a song and he leads us into that time when there's no real lyric up there and he's just kind of singing out and we're sort of like going, I wonder where he's seeing those words. You know, the scripture tells us to sing unto the Lord in the Spirit. With our understanding, making melodies. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, the scope of worship. And I'm just using this as one example of other areas of worship. So you see, so far we're only on the second line. And we are seeing now a self-rule issue. Something is emerging. Because a lot of us are starting to feel a little uncomfortable. What if He asks us to do that? I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm only asking you what you perceive the Word of God to be. The suggestions of men or the Word of God offered by the Spirit covering the directives of our dad's heart. And I wonder why He would ask us to do something like that. We'll come up with an answer in a minute. How's that? Okay, let's go on. We're never going to get through here. So we're going to sing a fresh new song and His praise to Hela. That means we're going to laud Him in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice. Oh, there's your way out. You can say He was speaking to Israel, not us. We are Israel, spiritual Israel, right? Okay, so let Israel rejoice. That's Samach. Brighten up, be gleeful, cheerful, or cheer up, and make selves glad in Him that made Him. Let the children of Zion be joyful. Oh, here we go, Gil. Spin under passionate influence. Okay, just hold on. I'm going to pull you out of all this. You know me well enough. Spin under passionate influence in their king. Let them praise. Halal again. Be clear of sound. Shine. Make a show. Boast. Be clamorously foolish. Cry loudly. Sustain a din. Rave and celebrate His name in the dance. We probably should just quit right now and just move on to lesson number 8. See this? Makawa? It means to twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner. Let them sing, zamar, accompany with the voice, the slapping of the strings, the playing of the musical instruments, unto Him with the tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure, ratsah, is pleased, satisfied, enjoys takes pleasure in His people. If that was the only reason you and I obeyed His word, if that was the only reason that we said, Lord, no matter what it takes, I'm breaking out of my personality form. I'm going to do what You call me to do, no matter what it costs me personally. If there was no other reason, that would be reason enough to make Him pleased. Huh? Okay. So, for the Lord takes pleasure, Rasa, is pleased, satisfied, enjoys, takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify. Here it comes, guys. He will beautify, glean, embellish, boast over, and glorify the meek. Now, the word anah means that we humble ourselves, that we are lowly in our own eyes. We are saintly and needy for Him. What's the Bible say in the New Testament about receiving the word with meekness? You know what this humbling means? It means that when you have a will and God has the will, somebody gives and it's not God. So what He says is, so far, that if we will do these things, not only will He take pleasure in us, which should be enough, but then He goes to work on us, to beautify us, to embellish us. He begins to boast over us. He says that He will beautify the meek with salvation, and He uses a word that is very close to His Hebrew name for Himself. His name is Yeshua, and here it's Yeshua. And that means he will beautify the meek with victory, deliverance, prosperity, health, and welfare. Let the saints be joyful, alas, jump for joy, exalt, rejoice, triumph, in glory, kabod, splendor and honor. Let them sing aloud, emit loud sounds, shouts of joy, cry out, sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises, the exaltation of God, be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor, Adar, magnificence, ornament, splendor, beauty, honor, and majesty, have all of His saints. Praise ye the Lord. I feel exhausted. How about you? And we just read one small passage of Scripture. And there are multitudes of these kinds of instructions in the Psalms and in other places in the Word of God. All of them are Holy Spirit authored truth regarding our Father's heart for times of musical worship. It's not hard to see that we have a definitive prescription for musical worship in the Word. And all we have to do is read these words again. Be loud and clear and rave and move. Compose and sing hymns and songs of praise. Smile and spin around and be passionate. Twist and whirl and accompany the instruments with singing, jumping, and emoting. Notice that when we do these things, that the Lord does some things. He takes pleasure in us, boasts over us, glorifies us, brings us victory, deliverance, prosperity, and divine enablement. This is just an amazing thing that is happening to us. One thing I can sort of like liken it to, have you ever thought about the things the Lord asks us to do and how some of them don't make a lot of sense? Like, for example, Sunday morning we baptize people. Now, can I ask you a question? What sense does it make for an adult to lead church in their, you know, how we dress up, you know, lead church in your dress up clothes and go over, get changed, and jump in a tank and come up out of the water, and somehow this is something that is going to change our lives forever? Do you understand how that simple obedience and things that don't make any worldly sense benefit us so deeply? Huh? I mean, all of us know what it's like. We go to get baptized, and the things that the Bible says happen at baptism begin happening to us. Because His word is sure. The heavens open. The anointing comes. The affirmation of His voice. This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased. The equipping for warfare. All happens by us being obedient in a small, silly act. This is far more delineated than something as simple as baptism. This is an absolute prescription that says, if you will start doing these things my way, Spirit and truth. Word of the Spirit, you said, right? It's the truth of God's directives, right? If you will start doing these things, then I am going to start doing those for you, giving you victory. You don't have to search a lot of scriptures to find out that's true. That when people are obedient to the simple thing, like worship in the darkest hours, God brings deliverance. That He will bring prosperity. That He will bring divine enablement. The Lord, the scripture says, moves when we worship Him according to His Word. And the rewards are right there for people who will worship Him His way. He is there for people who will worship Him His ways. And listen to this from Zephaniah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, which sounds like He's speaking to a gathered crowd, kind of like this one, is mighty, a valiant champion. There's that same theme again, that He will show Himself strong on our behalf. He will save, Yashah, free, defend, and deliver. He will rejoice. Look at this. He becomes bright. He becomes cheerful. He has gladness with laughter. You know what it's like to make your dad laugh? You know what it's like to make someone you love crack a smile over you? Here it is. It's right here in black and white. Holy Spirit breathe. Holy Spirit saying, like, kind of like a mom says to you, he says, honey, you want to make your dad really happy? Go and take him his slippers. And the Holy Spirit right here is giving us instruction. You want to make your father really happy? You want him to see him crack a smile? You want to know that he has gladness over you? Then you do these things. You worship him. And he says that he will be bright, cheerful, and have gladness of laughter over you with joy, glee, exciting gladness, pleasure, and joyfulness. He will rest in his love. He will joy. Now he's spinning around. Wow. The God of all creation spinning around over you, over me. Can you see it in your heart? Can you remember back to when you were a kid and you came in to entertain your mom or your dad or your friends? And how you were just being silly. And somehow it just made them laugh. And that made it even better. And then, before you knew it, they were up on their feet and they were joining you too. That's what happens when you and I follow this living prescription of the Holy Spirit. He's ready to intervene, like He did with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. He is ready to come down in majestic power, like He did in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You know what the Bible says there? It says that the glory of the Lord was so thick in that place that they could no longer stand. They couldn't stand in His presence. And you and I need to understand that He's ready to intervene, ready to come down in power. Wouldn't you love to be able to say on some Sunday, you know something? Our worship was so nuts, we all fell down and couldn't get up and move because we were looking around and the glory of God was so thick, we could do is sit there. Wouldn't you love that testimony? Huh? So we have to come to a point where we're willing to do these things that He's saying. He's ready to move against our enemies, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. But oftentimes we aren't ready to move in worship, and there's the rub again, that it's us worshiping what? Or who is not God in a way that is our way. Our Father deserves to be worshipped the way He desires. Amen? So when we do that, there's great benefits. And when we don't, we're just people singing a song. And that's why so many times people are standing around our church during worship and their lips are barely moving and they're not even recording the word. Do you know that you would never do that with a human being? If I was talking to you face to face and all of a sudden I just sort of like drifted it out. You'd say, excuse me, right here. Huh? Or if I was just talking and just trailed off. If I said, hey, you know, I'm really glad to see you. This is big stuff. The prescription's right here in the Word of God. Now, many people, especially American Democratic Society people, today think that worshiping God's a matter of choice, of style, and of personality. Like every other fundamental Bible concept, as we've already seen in this study, the Bible offers us instruction and a clear picture of how we adopt and adapt the principle to our lives if we want to be in His divine will. Did we say that we wanted to be in His divine will? I think most of us do, don't we? The reality is that the Word of God dictates how we worship, musically and otherwise, once we've made the decision to worship Him. So what's the real issue behind the person who says, okay, here we go. Well, you know what? I go to this new church now called Life Church. And I'll lift up my hands unto the Lord, but there's no way I'm going to be doing that dancing thing. No way. Not me. Or we say, I'll dance, but that's shouting stuff. You know, that's a little too primal, especially when they go into that deep guttural thing. Oh, of course, we'll do it at the football game. I've watched some soccer moms who make great worshipers if we just get them saved. Huh? And some of you guys screaming at your TV, you're great worshipers. As long as there's a football attached to it or a round ball. What about God? Is He worth it? Huh? So what's the real issue behind the people who say, I'm going to do this, but not this? The real issue is what? The real issue is control. And isn't that actually the issue of worship? Who is going to be in control? Worship means I'm saying, God, You have the control of my life. I'm going to bow down to You whatever I see in the Word of God. And that's really the issue here. Whether we're using musical worship as an example, whether we're using giving as an example, whatever it is, it's just a matter of who's going to rule, us or God. Well, if the people are gracious, they justify their position of saying, well, I'm not going to do that, by saying, well, it's okay for others, but that's not me. It's not my personality. Well, I just want you to know that if there's an issue of, you know, you want to improve your personality, do it God's way. Because we will love You more by being purified by Him than we will you just being who you are. Huh? Right? Okay, so if they're not gracious, they just reject expressive worship, and people do it all the time, and they worship praise out of hand. The me they're talking about is the soul-flesh me, and they're right. The soul-flesh personality doesn't want to do what God wants them to do, no matter how many times He repeats Himself. And you and I could read all the scriptures that have to do with worship, musical worship. We could read all of them, and your flesh would still be saying, no, not me. Hold on. Okay. The soul-flesh personality wants to stay in control so badly that it will compromise if that's what it takes to stay on top. It will determine the limits of obedience with an upraised hand, a loud singing, or anything else. The spirit me always wants to do what God wants to do, and God is looking for those, He said, who are wanting to do His will and wanting to fulfill His word. It's the unrenewed me that resists spiritually defined worship. It's self-rule. It's a self-rule issue to define thus far and no further when it comes to limits of yieldedness. Again, true worship is not about you or me. It's not about our personality. It's just in the way when we say, I can't do it. It's a self-rule issue, and self-worship always keeps us from doing what the Bible wants us to do. Amen? Now, why is this such a big deal? And why would I spend this much time talking to you about it? Well, it's really not a big deal to God, because God's word's true no matter what. He's the one who's holding everything in His hand. It's just a big deal for us. You know, the way we were designed originally left us free for an open response to God. There wouldn't be one person in our original design who would say, well, you know, that whole worship thing, that's not for me. I worship more like this. Or I worship more like this. In our natural state, let's go out to our new supernatural state. When you're in heaven, do you think you're going to say, hey, you know what, Lord, I don't raise my hands. But you know what I do good? I shout real good. I whistle. When you get to heaven, I promise you, there won't be one thing in your way from worshiping God with everything that you're worth. Okay? Why are we waiting for then? When we have the Word right here, right now, with the promise that the prescription not only pleases God, but changes us. These are important issues. Comes to worship of any sort. Okay, getting back. So, it's not a big deal for God, but it is a big deal for us. Because sin changed everything. And like so many other things in our lives, the Word of God states and delivers, even stands and legislates when necessary, a return to healthy life-giving way of life. We have forgiveness for disobeying the word, which most of us have in our lifetime, And our salvation is certainly not at stake, but true freedom, which is what we're all after, getting centered as a child for whom the kingdom unfolds, and the fullness of life are the things that are at stake. And the Father wants us to have those things. Freedom, the fullness of His kingdom unfolding, fullness right here and now as well as in heaven. There are many times, to be honest with you, that I come into a service, I can be feeling tired or low, jammed up, confused, even grumpy. I can muddle through a couple songs, and it happens to me most often in first service because that's my first service of the day. I'll be over here distracted with issues. People feel a real need sometimes to share something really, you know, huge with me just before I'm going in to deliver the word. And so I'll be distracted for a few moments. But you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot of time for all of a sudden, because I've learned to key in on the lyrics, that someone else's purity of praise can lift me out of my prison. It's just Acts chapter 16 happening all over again. That when you and I are held back, held in, hemmed in, that we can be renewed, we can be brightened up, we can become cheerful by dialing into our musical worship and praise. So all of a sudden the lyric begins to hit home. It's there pushing through to the freedom that is mine in Jesus. And I find in that moment the resources to get connected in the realm of the Spirit and to be energized with God's fullness. And it's Father's way beginning to bear fruit in the Spirit man. Now, I just want to set everybody free of a fear. Sunday morning I will not be looking around to see if you guys are jumping. I am not there to worship you. I am there to worship my Father. Amen. But this is a very, very serious issue for you and I, because it only depicts what is out of order in the area of total worship of God. Maybe your forte is not you're struggling with worship in the music side, but maybe you're struggling with the issues of giving. Maybe you're struggling with the issues of compassion. Maybe you're struggling with issues of forgiveness. Those are all worship issues. And if you can look and see what the pattern is, that God has a prescription for everything, that your lower nature is going to resist everything, that your soul must be renewed by the Word of God and begin siding with the Spirit of the Lord, and when you do that, He will deliver you out of everything. When you begin to see that, your life will change, and the fullness of the Spirit will begin to be yours. So we're not talking about some choreography in our praise and worship services. No one's thinking next time Elton says, hey, let's everybody dance, that we're all going to start dancing all at one time. This isn't a matter of us trying to get more expressive worship. This is a matter of us trying to get to the hearts of every man, woman, and child, and to stop allowing the excuses. It's my personality. Well, I just wasn't brought up this way. Well, how's that working for you? Huh? How's that working for you? You know what? When you find a place in life where the Spirit of God is validating something, it's not enough just to watch it. You should want to be part of it. And it's very important for you and I to enter into the fullness of God's Word. And we're talking about true issues of worship and letting Him call the shots in everything. Again, I want to just remind you that it's just a matter of you becoming that child again. Now, some of us have had lousy childhoods. Let me just take an aside for a second. Some of us had lousy childhoods. We didn't have fathers who we could dance in front of because we didn't have a father. Our moms didn't join us in those things. Okay, we understand that. We really do. And that those are very painful and very real issues. But you know what? If you decide in your heart to begin worshiping the way God says, He will do exactly what the Word says He will do. He will redeem the days that were evil. He will buy back every moment of suffering that you have gone through to make you as innocent as that child again. And you can have the fullness of those experiences with a dad who can never fail you. A dad who will always be there. And if somehow you can just see that you are there for that audience of one, when it comes time for that sort of worship, and then extend that to every area of life, you can be redeemed from all of your heart race. Amen? Now, thinking back, we can see the wrangling of the soul and the flesh to maintain control and sit on the throne of decision in this one particular area of our lives. If the Lord will do all that He has promised in these few passages of Scripture for those who will do what He says in those few passages concerning musical worship, which is only part of worship, just think what He will do for those whose lives are perfect, growing, who are peaceable with His will. What will Father do for those who worship Him in the arena of love? What if you decided, well, God has a will for love and I have a will for love, but I'm going to choose God's will for love. What do you think would happen in your life, in your marriage, if all of a sudden God began providing power for His compassion to flow through your life? You know, the Word of God tells us that a woman with an unsaved husband can win her husband to Christ just by living his life. That's worship. That the woman goes back and says, you know what? I'm not going to do that because he's a bonehead and he doesn't treat me well, so I'm not going to love him like the Bible says. Guess what you're getting? Exactly what you willed. Destruction. You decide to do this God's way. It's an act of worship. Lord, you know what? I can't do this with my flesh, and I can't do it with my soul in the state of confusion and anger that it's in. But you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to side with you in the Spirit. And I'm going to renew my mind from your Word until I can go into that situation in love because you're providing me the power. How do you think that would change your life? Okay, how about this? What will He do for those who will worship Him, as He says, with their financial resources? Is there anybody in this room tired of struggling financially? Okay, well, you have a will for finances. Yours is, get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. That's the world mentality. Go make it, store it, and sit on it. Retire as early as you can. That's not God's will for your finances. God wants to make you wealthy, not only here, but in the kingdom of heaven, with your finances. That's His will. So what will happen to a person who decides that they're going to bow before the Lord in the issue of the resources, giving according to His prescription with a cheerful heart and bowels of compassion? Won't He do what He said, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that can't be contained? Wouldn't the overflow of His life and resource be a blessing to the people around you? Isn't He looking for men and women that He can once again use, like Joseph and David and Solomon, who built nations? You know, there are people in this room that God would love to take you and turn the county upside down just through your one life. Watching TV last night, some banker was honored by President Obama for giving away $60 million of his own money. He said, this is the right thing to do. Can you imagine what kind of testimony you could garner for the kingdom of heaven by letting the Lord bless you with $60 million and then using it for Him, actually the way He wanted you to? Wouldn't that be a nice idea? And what a change it would be in the body of Christ. Huh? All we need is a few of those. Huh? So what would happen if you worship Him with your time and talents and energies? Wouldn't He be willing to do with you what He did with Paul and Peter, James and John? Can He still support people to go out in His name and open blind eyes and heal the sick and preach the gospel to the poor and the captives? And what about people who will worship Him in all things just because it's due Him? Won't it be evident now that the things we hear Him say in His Word, that'll happen to us? Won't He pour out His Spirit upon us and cause us to be a delight to the lost and the needy, the poor and the infirm? Obedience and musical worship is just one stop on the pathway of true worship. And we must be more than overcomers. You have to work through these issues in your heart. You literally have to harness your flesh from saying, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I would look like a fool doing that. I might pass out doing that. Huh? Whose will are we going to fulfill? Father's looking for people in this day who appropriate His power, venturing out one step at a time, one shout, one song, one hop at a time. We were created to worship Him, so let's not deprive Him any longer, especially when He's provided us with the power to obey. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 30. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command you this day. And the Lord your God will make you plentiful in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body and the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as He rejoiced over your fathers. If you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn unto the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Is there any part of that that any of us in this room wouldn't want the fullness of? It's an incredible promise, right? Let's move on. Jeremiah chapter 7. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I'm going to begin closing this in just a moment. But I want to share with you how this all happened for me. Because while I came out of the world fully acclimated to rock music, and all the nonsense that we call normal, I felt very uncomfortable when I was introduced to the kingdom of heaven, bringing anything from the world with me into that new world. I didn't know at that time, see, I was too young in the Lord to understand that the enemy is doing the ripping off of what is already belongs to God. And the entire music scene that you and I see with all those kids, you know, doing the pounding and the thrusting with the arms and all the dancing, that belonged to God first, and music belonged to God before it belonged to the enemy. And it was beautiful and pure before the enemy got hold of it. But there's a thing in all of us that says, you know, that stuff is so worldly, and I don't want to bring it into the kingdom because it's just too pure and too holy. And then we present God this dead sacrifice, not a living sacrifice. And the Lord's saying, guys, don't you get it? My kingdom's all about redemption and getting back to the original plan. And that whole thing that you experience, that the fact that you move to a great beat, and the fact that certain lyrics really catch your heart and you begin to dwell on those truths. There's not a person in this room who lived in the 60s who can't remember the lyrics to most of the Beatles songs. If we started off for you, you know why? There's power in those words that we sang and how they imprint themselves in our minds and hearts. Do you know that there's a part of your brain that records information differently when it comes with a musical note? And that a stroke victim who cannot speak can sing? It's a whole other part of your brain that lights up. And we turn away from worship because, well, you know, we had so much worldly stuff. The beat belongs to God. The words were distorted and became evil. And you and I need to be a people who redeem it. Now, here I was coming into the Church of Jesus Christ. I was amazed. I was dumbfounded at this God that I was hearing about. I didn't know there was a God, not anything like what I was hearing for the first time. And I wanted all of it, and I wanted to be so careful. And in the church I grew up in, there was hand raising and stuff, but there was no real dancing until all of a sudden one day, my pastor, who was Pastor Jack Hayford, comes to church. He had just gotten back from a trip that he'd taken to Australia. And he came back and he said, Church, he said, I have a confession to make. I was deeply challenged by the Spirit of the Lord this past week when I was in Australia. And I realized that my worship was not complete, that I wasn't worshiping according to the Word of God. And he began to tell you many things I've told you tonight from the Word. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, great. The guy that I've been following and have so much respect for is going off the edge. You see, my self-control, my self-rule, my will was being violated by God's will. And I didn't want Him messing with my great package. I mean, Lord, don't you get it? Look what I'm offering you, me. And together. So Jack came into service that morning, It was one of the most embarrassing moments of my entire Christian life. Here's the guy who I loved and adored, revered, and he's standing at the front telling us the story about his visit to Australia. He says, and these people down there, when they worship, they dance before God. And he said, you know, when I first was there, I felt very uncomfortable with it. And then I realized that they were doing a conference on worship and covering these scriptures. And he said, and I realized that I hadn't been living up to the fullness of the scripture. He said, I just want to do what God wants me to do. He said, if it means being a fool for Christ, I'll be a fool for Christ, no matter what it takes. And then he did this. He said, so what I want you to know is that these people down there, they do this sort of hop thing. And I'm watching Jack Hayford in a suit and tie jumping. Like a goon. There was nothing rhythmic about it. Now, for those of you who know, Jack is a music genius. He's written hundreds of songs. This guy knows this thing inside and out, except for how to have rhythm. You know? And I was so embarrassed. He said, now, church, he said, I'm not asking any of you to do this. He said, but I want you to know something. That if you will honestly search the scriptures and present yourself before the Lord, he said, your expressions of worship will have to change. I couldn't believe it. Here we're going off the edge, hyper charismatics. I heard about this. I didn't know I was one of them. Well, it was a struggle for me. And it took me a while. I wish I could tell you that in the years that I danced before the day came of my revelation of the Scripture, I wish I could tell you that I danced out of sincerity. I did it because I felt compulsion. And sometimes you have to just do the Word of God because it says so. But one day, over in the old building, I was worshiping the Lord, and we used to gather together every Saturday night in those days. And we were playing one of the new Dennis Jernigan tapes, one of the videos. And, of course, this kind of worship that you and I are now used to was very new, very different. And that one night, something of the lyric caught my heart. And I realized I'd been singing for years without being honest. You see, when the Bible says, I will sing, I will dance, and you sing but you don't dance, you're lying. You're just lying. You would never say it in a conversation. Hey, how's it going, man? I'm going to give you $5, but I'm just lying. I'm not going to really give you $5. So I was singing all these songs. I will praise you with my whole heart. I was lying. It wasn't my whole heart. It was the part of my heart I wanted to give. I was still fully in control. And this one particular night, I'll never forget, I was singing through a lyric, and I realized I was a liar. And it broke my heart. Because God had given me everything. Everything. And I knew it. And I was withholding from Him what He spoke so clearly in His Word. And I said, you know what, Dad, I'll never do that again. I will never sing another song. If I can't do it, I will not sing it. If I'm not going to fulfill my word, I will not let those words come out of my mouth. But Lord, every time I sing it and I get it, I'm going to do whatever it is I'm singing. And I want to tell you something. That night, I broke free. And I've been dancing as hard as I can ever since. Now, I'm old. And for a guy my age to be dancing like I dance, that's got to be the Lord. There are some of you out there that you're older than I am, and you know what? You don't have to dance like I do. You can just dance like this. You can look just as funny as Jack Hayford. It's not a matter of how high you jump. It's a matter of worship. Who will dictate the limits? Our dad dictated the limits. He's the one who would look like an idiot. He's not doing it to make us look stupid. He's doing it because there's a prescription in there that if we follow, we benefit from. And God is about our benefit. So, we have to start asking ourselves some questions about these issues. I want you to know that resistance to any kind of a forced worship will seem unnatural to you. We're afraid of allowing a hole in the dike when it comes to the issue of musical worship, because we figure once we let it out, man, we're really going to go nuts. Well, you know, pretty much your physical condition will limit what you do, right? With every small response, though, that you give to the Lord, I want you to know it'll become easier and easier to begin worshiping in the way He desires. I want to encourage you to let the Lord have His way, beginning this coming week, with a very small slice of worship, even if you have to do it slowly. Now, I want to ask you some of the questions here. These are all personal responses. You don't have to write anything down. First is, can you say yes or no to this statement? I am ready to wiggle my foot side to side instead of the traditional up and down the next time I sing the word dance in connection with the word I. I will dance. So instead of, you know, you're doing this, on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm just looking for a 0. You say, instead of doing this, you go like this. Because if you'll do that, that's the beginning of a breakthrough for you. It's just a little tiny hole in the dike. And you know what? The Word will energize itself if you give it permission. Right? Okay, question number two. I'm willing to take a hard look at the way I musically worship, to ask why, and to judge whether or not it's an example of the way I truly worship the Lord for the rest of my life. Yes or no? My brother and sister, it's time to take a look at everything you're doing. You see, the days that we're living in, the things that you and I are going to have to face are going to require men and women who are equipped with the power of God. You said you want the power of God. You want answered prayer. I am telling you point blank, you can't have it without wanting God and His will. It will not materialize. You'll just be another religious man or woman doing it on your own strength and your own power. If you want the fullness, you follow our Father's Word. Amen? Third question, I know you're having a great time, is this. I am willing to do what I say and sing because I have a revelation from the Word concerning the ways to praise and worship, and I see Him high and lifted up and worthy of it all. Yes or no? He is worthy of everything. I'll close with this quick story. Alex Montealegre, who is one of our most precious pastors, Alex came out of the rock world. Him and Lisa both were extremely involved in rock. And, of course, most of you know Lisa was a Grammy nominee. And, of course, so they were fully steeped in the whole thing. Sony Records, all the contracts, all the high life, the cocaine, the alcohol, the parties, everything. When Alex became a Christian after his suicide attempt, when he became a Christian, he came in and he was just like I was, eyes big, couldn't figure out what this whole thing was about, but always felt something was really missing in his life. He could never quite break through on issues of the Word, on issues of the quality of life, on issues of his love for God. He loved God, but he kept getting dragged back into the past. And I remember one day him walking in. We were still in that building again. And I remember him came walking in on a Wednesday night service. And we were in worship, and you know, worship wasn't anything like it is today. It took a lot more effort to worship with that kind of passion. And I'll never forget watching him. He walked in and he just kept walking down the aisle. Worship had already started. He walked down to the front and he just closed his eyes and he began to dance. His life has never been the same since then. And he became a pastor of a thriving congregation. And the Lord has delivered him over and over and over and over again from things that should have killed him and his wife. There's power in true worship, in musical worship. There's power every time in you yielding your will to His will. He will never trick you. He will never trap you. He will never make you a buffoon. You need to understand you're there for the audience of one. And when you enter that zone, you'll never ever want to go back again. And nothing of this life will seem worthy to hold on to because of so much being offered you from His life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, tonight we've just used a simple example to try to captivate our imagination when it comes to holding ourselves accountable, judging ourselves, examining ourselves in the area of really who and what we are worshiping. Many of us, to be honest, love you with all that we know, but never seem to get ahead, never seem to break out, never seem to experience the things that we hear and see going on around us all the time. And it just doesn't seem quite fair. It's not an issue of your picking and choosing. It's an issue of us picking your will over ours, of choosing your word over our words. And I think that the reward is the same, one for all, that when we decide to follow you in fullness, we can have all that you've promised. I pray that we would be hungry and thirsty for the true righteousness of your kingdom coming alive in us. We don't want to have to fake it to make it. We don't want to have to just put on airs of our spirituality. We don't want to have the form without the power. We want it all. And I glorify you that you say to us tonight, you can have as much as you want as you follow me in true worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to take a short break. Is that right? Short break. Come back. We'll answer questions if you have them. And then we'll go on from there. Go ahead. Take a break. Okay. Let's kind of come back to our tables. So this is the question and answer time. Probably more questions than answers, but, you know, we'll do our best. So tell me some of the things that have given you pause or some of the comments you want to make on what you heard tonight, or maybe even tell us what you think you did hear. Who wants to go? Anybody? Yeah, I know. It's so perfectly delivered that there's no questions. Yes. That's right. That's right. You know what? It's such an amazing revelation to us all that the things that most of us who are 50 or 45 and older that we take for granted, the new generations have no idea what we're talking about. I told you the conversation in service a couple of weeks ago of talking about how little girls all want to grow up to marry their dads and little boys want to grow up to marry their moms. And the people that I was talking to were saying, what are you talking about? We hated our fathers. We would never want to marry anybody like them. And it's just a sign of how our society has really changed. The absence of dads in the homes, the busyness of both moms and dads and the kids growing up on their own or being schooled by television, really different. So we have to think of more creative ways to communicate the gospel, because when we talk about the goodness of our dad, the people are going like, I don't get it. Huh? So it's a very important issue. Thank you for the comment. And that's a good thing for us to keep reiterating, that no matter how you start, that if you'll do things God's way, He will redeem all of the days that were evil, and He will help you end well. Amen? What other comments? Yes. That's great, Cynthia. What a great image. You know, just we have such a hard time seeing how God sees it, and all these little glimpses, and then you magnify that like about a billion times, because God's so much more intense than we are. And to know that you're putting a smile on His face,
the one who's done everything for us. I'd do anything for that. I mean, I'd do anything for that. We act like idiots to make our parents or our friends smile. I'd do anything to know I was making my dad happy. So if it means 57 years old and, you know, everything going in opposite directions as I'm leaping, I'll do it. I'll do it. How about you? What else? Yes. Amen. So, see, isn't that great, honey? Isn't that great? The kingdom of heaven has its own juice. Amen. If we just get it delivered, man, it has its own juice. Brought her mother to life in Christ. What else? What else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible how the Lord made us. And, of course, the enemy has targeted one of the most powerful things that humanity has been given. And that's why music today is so, in most cases, so pathetic. Because the enemy does everything possible to spoil what is beautiful and what is God-given. And you know what? Here's really a shocker. When you and I were singing those songs in the 60s and 70s or 80s, whenever you grew up, a lot of times we didn't understand the lyrics we were singing, but we were singing them. And it wasn't until much, much later that as we matured and began processing, that we began understanding, oh, you know what? Some of those songs weren't so good. Like for example, country western. We all can sing about, you know, the pickup truck and the dead dog and, you know, my wife who divorced me. I'm throwing my rearview mirror away. And we sing those things without even thinking. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, you go through some hard times in life and you realize that maybe your life was broken down because you had some things going in that were extremely unhealthy, that were seducing your soul away from your spirit. And a lot of those issues, the enemy knows, man, this is a powerful weapon. So here's our kids. When I put Third Day's lyrics up on the screen for our kids, they were shocked. We are not singing any of those swear words. But they could see them and identify them. But when they were singing them, they didn't get it. So here's the enemy telegraphing these lies and these untruths and these ungodly concepts into them that they might not recognize for years to come, but then they'll never be able to forget them. I mean, I still got Ruby Tuesday and, you know, well, that's a restaurant. I mean, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Whatever. I still have all that junk in there. And you know something? From time to time, they surface and I have to take every thought captive. Amen? What other comments? Any others? How many of you are willing to try a new way of worship just because you see the will of God versus your will? Did that strike the chords as far as you saw that you actually had a will when it came to it? Anybody here ever said, that's just not my personality? Anybody? Let me see. Yeah. How many of you have ever looked on the front and seen, you know, your old geezer up there jumping and thought, what an idiot. I'll never do that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's the big hindrance. That's the big hindrance to... He doesn't know how to turn it off, Sonny. Would you help him? Somebody, please! You know, that's the big problem with worship, is that we really think that we are being watched by other people. First of all, who cares if it's true? But the secondary issue there is that we have to come to the point in our lives where you don't turn off either. I think they probably pulled the plug. I'll be right there. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now all I can hear is the washing machine worshiping the Lord. Yeah, spinning. Yeah. What were we talking about? Other people. You know what? When you have to make that decision, and you know one of the beautiful things about our congregation of being so casual, is one of the hindrances in churches where you dress up is you don't want to rumple your clothes. Okay, we took care of that problem, so that's not your excuse, right? And so now that it just comes down to worship. Who will worship His way and who will continue to resist? And you know what? God will forgive us no matter what we do, no matter what you decide. He will forgive us. But the bottom line is there's fullness on the line. And we want you to have the fullness. I would be an absolute insane human being to set the bar all the way up at the top without even the little pins. I mean, on the top. If there wasn't something God was asking, requiring of us to experience. Because it would just be frustrating. But when you see the reality, which is what I tried to show you tonight, of the issue of musical worship, and the bar's way up there, well, I've built my entire life on the idea that if you shoot at the moon and come halfway, it's far better than the person who aims across the street and makes it and gloats over what they've done. No comparison. None whatsoever to following the Lord and His will. Burke, back here, then over here. Go ahead. So, yeah, that's great. And she had to have a partner in crime. Yeah, great testimony. Thanks so much. Yeah. You don't have permission to do that. To drag anybody else in. I mean, you're welcome to go, if you do it, I'll do it. And this is a decision you make to worship God His way. Go ahead, honey. Yeah. Good for you, honey. Good for you. And you know what? We'll be the first ones to stand by your side and dance with you. Yeah. I'm just, one of the things that always concerns me is to have some older guy up there, older than I am, dancing and, you know, some fallout or something. Like, oh. But we can pray for healing for that too, right? Go ahead, honey. Speak up, honey. Loud. That's right, honey. Good testimony. Good testimony. You know, that's it. That's it. Worship is that. Obeying God's will. When everything in you says, I have a better way, a different way, you just say, okay, I'll dump it. I'm going to go your way. Yes, last comment right here. Good for you. If you can stop on the side of the road and dance, you can start dancing here. And I think if the one thing I can leave you with tonight is this, is that this is not a personality issue. There are a lot of places that will tell you different things about the Word. That is okay, but you can't let anyone's style or opinions equal the Word of God in your life. So when you go to a church, and I did, who just raises their hands, but that was it. But then you find the Word of God saying something else, you have to give into this if you're a worshiper. And you know what? When you and I die, that needs to be our testimony. They were worshipers of God. Amen? Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And I ask you to anoint every one of us with an energized word that will change the things that we do because it's taken root in our soul. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen and amen. Go get your kids. Bye.